little B.B. King on a Sunday night for you, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way we like it here at Tal Prince Live on a Sunday night. Bringing you some blues on Christian radio. It's all right for you. It's good for you. You need a little more of it in your life. That's what we're saying. All right. You are listening to Tal Prince Live, and we are thankful to have you. Our number tonight, as it is every week, 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. Here's a question. What is a Christ-centered response? What is the response of a follower of Christ to bullying? What is our responsibility, our obligation, what should be our response when we see things like this happen, you know, or, and how should we be raising our children to respond to this? If you've got kids, you need to be in this game because it's going to happen. They're going to see it. It is going down in their world, and you need to have a response. You need to be actively training them now. How are you doing that? What is the method, you know, that you're going about? How are you doing it? 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. We want to hear from you, and I want you to listen to a man who knows and has some really good input on this, and his name is Paul Coughlin. He is from Medford, Oregon, and a very fine soccer coach, is what I'm told by him. But, you know, that notwithstanding. But also, you know, a man with experience in radio. And he is to my right, and an author and a great blogger and author and a great speaker. I had the privilege of hearing this man speak this weekend. Great communicator, and you'll get a little feel for that here as he takes the mic. So, Paul, welcome to Tal Prince Live. How you doing, man?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me here, pal.
Come on. Listen to that voice right there. Come on. That's awesome. Okay, so, Paul, I mean, you know, I don't mean to, like, you know, switch your heart off of laughing into bullying, but, you know, this is the kind of transitions that we like here because we're professional. Professionals. But dude, seriously, I mean, you know, this is such a major issue, you know, that's going on. And we see it in the news every day just about now. I mean, what do you see? Because you're seeing this a lot because this is something you're intimately involved in. So what are you seeing?
You know, we're seeing an increase. Actually, we're seeing a bit of a decrease. One study has told us recently a decrease in physical bullying. But we're seeing an increase in what's called cyberbullying. So kids are disdain and contempt, humiliation are expressed toward them through electronic media. At this point, it's usually texting, sometimes sexting gone bad, where people are sending photos of naked people to one another to humiliate them on purpose, leading to suicide, not just in America, or bully side, we call it, not just in America, but a girl in Cork, Ireland, in the last 2 months took her life due to sexting. And so we're seeing an increase in cyberbullying, and that is where we're seeing more of the bully side taking place. When I was a kid, you were a kid, probably a lot of our listeners, when we went to school, we go to school, you get beat up, you come home, your parents patch you together like a plane, an aircraft carrier, and then the next day they send you back out to the class, to the playground, you get beat up. Mm-hmm. Well, you could get away from what we call the theater of bullying when we were kids. Hmm. Now they literally can't escape the theater because it follows them home. Wow. So at Phoebe Prince, you mentioned it at the top of the hour. Yeah. She received these horrifying text messages full of contempt and disdain, which is the language and behavior of supremacy. It is not two people disagreeing. In this case, people literally thinking they are better than Phoebe Prince. So we're seeing an actual increase in bully side due to cyberbullying. And the reason why is they can't get away. Martin Luther King put it this way in regard to segregation and racism and how it just broke people down. Mm-hmm. He called it the fatigue of despair. Bear Bryant said that fatigue makes cowards of us all. And so they're becoming hopeless. And when they become hopeless, they become drastic. And as a result, we have to intervene on their behalf because for reasons hopefully we can get into later, most targets of bullying, of serial bullying, are incapable of self-rescue.
Hmm. I think it's a great point that you make in terms of this. They cannot escape the theater. I mean, because exactly. I mean, when we were kids, we could, you know, we could go home. There was some type of sanctuary.
That's right.
You know, we could get away from. But now you can't. I mean, now, I mean, texting, Facebook, you know, this is an online generation, man. There's not a time that they're not wired up and connected. And I think just personally, well, let me just ask you, I mean, do you think pornography plays into this at all?
Well, certainly sexuality plays into it, okay. Of course, where, again, in regard to sexting, what will happen, and please, usually girls are more likely to fall into this trap than boys. Many girls in middle school feel that the only way that they can keep a boyfriend is to email him naked photos of herself. Right. And it's kind of like, okay, you're mine. And inevitably, that relationship's going to go south. And
what?
Now that guy has got some incriminating, unbelievably embarrassing information, images of that girl. And, of course, unfortunately, she didn't think about that ahead of time. And what some guys are doing is they're forwarding it to every guy they know.
Right.
And girl, in order to humiliate the girl, especially if she broke up with them.
Right.
And so sexuality is being used as a weapon. I mean, it's always been used as a weapon.
Yeah.
And now we have an electronic way in which we're doing it.
Absolutely right. And you're listening to Paul Coughlin talk about cyberbullying. I really want your take on this. 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. Call in and interact with us on this. You bring up sexting. Item in the USA Today a couple of months ago, and here's the issue: junior high boys now believe. I mean, it's considered an expectation, not a desire, but they expect to have naked pictures of their girlfriends on their cell phone. You know, an expectation. So if you're a parent and you're listening to this, you are properly alarmed. But what's your response? What is your response? 877-800-8645. And, I think as pornography has, because the average age of exposure to porn now, hardcore porn, is 8 in the United States. And so as our kids are exposed to porn, see porn, that objectifies people. So when you reduce people to objects, now this makes it very easy for somebody to say all kinds of just unbelievably harsh and ridiculously cruel things to somebody.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. The word we use in anti-bullying work is that in order to strip someone of their dignity, and we're talking – this is really what we're talking about. It's human dignity. In order to get past our own conscience, that we're all born with a conscience, most of us. In order to get past that, we have to do something to the object. And in the world of porn, it's called objectifying the person, and in other realms as well.
Mm-hmm.
In the world of bullying, we call that turning the other person into an it.
Right.
When you can turn the other person into an it and strip them of their humanity, in many cases, there's no limit to the nastiness that you can do to that person. So one of the things that we try to do through the protectors is to encourage people, remind people that we're all imbued with dignity and glory and value, as made in the image of God. When we speak in a faith-based organization, when we speak in public schools, obviously we can't take it to that level. But we are valuable. And unfortunately, through bullying and through porn, we are literally stripping people of their value. I think one of the things that is rough in both theaters is, unfortunately, we don't see the stripping take place so quickly. It's a stripping of inches, but eventually we get to the point where that other person is an it as opposed to a human being just like us, and then really all bets are off. I talked to a man in order to help his older son stop bullying his younger son. He, like a lot of fathers, he had enough. And so he had his younger son take his shirt off, and then he put salt on the younger son's back. And then he told the older boy, lick the salt off his back. And what happened was, though neither one of them found it enjoyable, as you can imagine, when the older brother was done, the younger brother moved from an it to a person. He literally change the way in which they related to one another. Now, am I recommending that to all of your listeners? No. But
yeah, not our listeners.
No, not our listeners. Yeah. No. What I'm saying is that sometimes you got to do drastic things in order to help a person see a person be a person instead of an it.
Yeah, and that is true, you know, for so many of us. And, you know, in our crew, we do have a lot of people who've been deep, deep, deep into porn, you know, porn and sex addiction. And, yeah, I mean, we're so used to objectifying people. And to kind of come out of that, you know, is a journey in itself. You know, to move out of treating people as objects and seeing them that way, you know, is a journey in itself.
And with bullies, it would be a journey too, because they really enjoy dominating other people. Mm-hmm. There is a particular pleasure, probably not necessarily sexual as in the case of porn, but that dominance is something they particularly thrive mm-hmm. on. It makes them feel alive.
Well, and catch the strategy of the enemy in this, folks, is because it is a direct attack on the image of God. You know, the enemy is behind this entire move because it is an attack on the very image of God, because anyone who is taking breath is created in the image of God. You turn that person into an object, mm-hmm. you have attacked and defied the very image of God, and when you try and dominate that.
Yeah.
I mean, you have radically attacked God.
One of the people who that happened to, and it's one of the questions that one of the things he points out, we're going into a bumper here, is Frank Peretti. We'll get a chance to talk about him.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the other side. You are listening to Tao Prince Live. Listen to Paul Coughlin, 877-800-8645. You are listening to Tao Prince Live on Sirius Satellite. This is Family Net Radio. We'll be right back. Look at this site. He's got a lot of good information. Articles, links, and news are there for you. And he's got a lot of stuff there. And he's got some books out that we'll talk about. And he really he speaks in schools on this, and he knows what he's doing. All right. And so we'd like your take and your input on this. If you've got an opinion, 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. And I just saw an article, you know, on the site that we were, you know, kind of talking about a little bit, how preschools breed bullies. Mm-hmm. You know, wow. That's kind of a horrifying thought.
It starts young. We're mystified mm-hmm. by this bullying behavior.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a pretty common behavior at a young age, especially when you're fighting for resources, you're fighting for attention.
Yeah.
It's just that as they get older, they need to be shown that this is not the way to get what you want, mm-hmm. and that pleasure should not be derived from the pain and suffering from another person. And keep in mind, only about 6% of kids actually bully in almost any school. Hmm. Problem is, they're rarely ever confronted well. They're usually, if they are confronted, it's really in a pretty poor way, because unfortunately, most teachers, they don't have much training in this area. And one of the reasons why it can be difficult for teachers to see it is that it's a more nurturing profession. And when people go into more nurturing professions, they want to see the best in people, and that is a great thing. That is a great thing. At the same time, it really needs to be balanced with wisdom, with truth, because the fact is, bullies are far more predatory than most of us want to admit.
Yeah.
And it's sad too, because if we don't confront them, they are statistically on a path to a life of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Children as young as in third grade have been followed for a number of years, and so they're considered to be a serial bully. First of all, mm-hmm. we all have picked on someone usually in some time in our life.
Mm-hmm.
That way. There's also a lack of supervision, which goes into your point of an absent father. So there's a lack of supervision, particularly with siblings. They're allowed to dominate siblings, and they get a certain rush from that. But one of the biggest myths about bullies themselves is that they have low self-esteem.
Hmm.
More and more studies are showing that on average, they will have average to excessive self-esteem.
Hmm. Hmm.
Bullies actually feel pretty good about themselves. And so others – basically, it is the spirit – from a spiritual perspective, it's the spirit of arrogance and pride in a very young body.
Wow.
It is the – Other people are children of a lesser God. Hmm. And keep in mind, it's not about conflict. It's not about misunderstanding. Serial bullying, in most cases, most of the time, is about disdain and contempt. It's the language of supremacy and the behavior of supremacy. I am better than you, because the number one group of kids picked on in any school are physically and mentally challenged kids. People who already have it too tough.
Wow. So talk to our listeners about the Protectors.
Yeah, it's an interesting organization. You know, we started out thinking that, you know, we would speak to faith-based organizations to do our work, to do good in that area, because there's a number of people already doing the public schools. So we figured, well, there's not too many people talking to private schools. Statistically, not much difference between bullying in a public and private school. But remarkably, as soon as we began this interesting work, we had more requests from public schools than private schools. So as a result, we've created two different presentations that we present to – most people want us to speak to the students. They think that's the important part. In reality, it's authority.
Right.
We need to speak to parents.
Yeah.
We need to speak to administrators, guidance counselors, teachers. And then once we get authority in line, ready to tackle this complex issue, then we'll speak to the student body itself. And what we try to do whenever possible is get the faith community to work with the public schools, not to be a critic, but to help them, to be an ally, to where, let's say, for example, in Sunday schools close to the school itself, well, those kids are trained or are shown that, you know, Jesus stepped in on behalf of people, particularly Mary. Mary was being bullied by Judas, and Jesus said, leave her alone. If one person, statistically, one person says, leave him alone, leave her alone, that incident of bullying can end 58% of the time within 6 to 8 seconds, but they need courage training. And that's the other thing the Protectors does. We provide courage training, and it's the virtue that underpins all other virtues.
Wow, you know, that is phenomenal. You're listening to Paul Coughlin talk about bullying and his ministry, The Protectors, which they engage heavily in courage training. If you've got a question for him about bullying, if you've got a story about being bullied or any of your children being bullied, or if you're, you know, were someone who bullied somebody, 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. Paul, what's the best way for folks to get in contact with you if they're looking to book you to come speak, or if they would like to support the Protectors?
They can go to theprotectors.org, and there they can find information about our speaking engagements. We have a bit segmented for public schools. We have a public school presentation and curriculum, and a faith-based curriculum and presentation. And then there's a donation button there. You know, what's interesting, pal, is we have something interesting is going on right now. There has been a level of support and interest in this organization and this topic that we haven't seen since we began. So we're very encouraged by that. We are an international organization. We provide this curriculum and presentations in other countries. We're currently being used in Uganda by a person running orphanages there. It's their first lesson kids learn when they come into this orphanage is not to bully, because they have such a problem with the kid parents, but both the parents are dead. And so these kids are on their own.
Wow.
And so they have the more mature and more courageous kids.
Yeah.
They become the ones who teach the other kids. And then they take essentially they're making disciples, protectors, disciples.
Yeah, that's good.
And then they send them off to other orphanages. And I got to tell you, man, when we started this, I had no idea that the Protectors curriculum would be used in that way. And if I were to get hit by a car and go to heaven tonight, I mean that's to think that we're being used in that capacity is just unbelievable.
Well, I heard you speak this weekend, and one of the things, we got like 2 minutes before we go to break, but something you talked about, you know, was how you kind of, you know, how you get kids to radio. Our special guest Paul Coughlin tonight, from all the way from Medford, Oregon, was in town for a conference, and being the buzzards and vultures that we tend to be, we just snagged him and yanked him in studio because it cost us nothing. It was awesome, and we're getting all that we paid for, by the way. But we really had a great conversation about bullying, cyberbullying, and all of that. And I really do, all kidding aside, aside, this is a good friend, a great guy doing some great ministry in that realm. Really want to recommend The Protectors to you, theprotectors.org, theprotectors.org. Go donate, support this ministry. He can just tear your heart out with stories of kids that they have helped and kids that are being bullied in school, sexually bullied. There's all kinds of horror stories going on, and our worlds intersect because, you know, we're so engaged in porn, and those that are struggling with and wrestling with porn and porn addiction and engaged in porn, and we're watching that turn people into, you know, objectifiers of people, and that leads right into bullying, because once you've turned a person into an object, they've got no value. And when they've got no value, well, there's no reason to respect them anymore, and so they're degradable. And so it plays in together. And so I think we're going to be doing some stuff together for quite some time. Want to introduce you to another friend of mine, another ministry partner of mine, and who has been impacted by Paul. It's how we found out about Paul, actually, because Paul has another book that we want to talk about in this in these last couple of segments called No More Christian Nice Guy. Great title for a book, by the way, dude. So No More Christian Nice Guy. Trailer Lovern, seated to my left. You've heard his wife on the program before, and Melody Lovern did a great job with my wife, but this is Trailer right here to my left. Trailer, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. Got a little bit of a cold, so I'm the hacker in the corner.
He's bringing the Barry White thunder.
I'll try to
Well, you got
to
stop smoking.
Not cough too much. Okay. Glad to be here, though.
Okay, so I mean, how did you get to No More Christian Nice Guy?
I picked it up in the bookstore. The title caught my eye. I had been through that journey about 6 years prior. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely a recovering nice guy myself. Mm-hmm. And started reading the book, and I think the day I finished it, I looked Paul up and made contact with him, because it really was my story. Basically, growing up as a guy who believed that that avoiding conflict was what it meant to be righteous and mm-hmm. be Christ-like.
Yeah.
And so I started preaching in high school, and so the lie was nobody's going to be able to call me a hypocrite. And so avoiding conflict was the one way I knew that if there was conflict, then people would say, okay, I thought you were this Christian guy. But so I avoided it and thought that was the right thing to do. And it really was a great disservice. Just a quick – my senior year, I was a quarterback in high school, played defensive end. And very, very small school, had a rival school, pouring down rain. And both stadiums I knew very well. And I also played defensive end, so yeah. I made a tackle, hit the guy, and went to church with the guys that I was playing against, and then was at the other rival high school. So I make the hit, and as I'm getting up from making this tackle, literally what went through my mind was, I wonder if anybody thought I was being too aggressive with that hit, because I'd been preaching by this point, and yeah. So everybody who went to church in that area had heard me preach, and that was how much of a nice guy that I was, that even on the football field was concerned that was being interpreted as too aggressive. So reading the book was, it basically gave me a picture of what I had been through, because mm-hmm. My own pornography addiction led to my divorce in 2002. Mm-hmm. And basically, I went through a journey, a lot of what Paul describes, and learning not to be a nice guy, but a good guy. And that transition, he gave me new words for that.
So it was, I remember Trailer reading the book, and because he was calling me and telling me all about it, and he hadn't hunted you down yet. Yeah. And so he was telling me all about it, and then when he hunted you down, he was like very excited. Which is really cool, to watch. But, you make some, really good points in the book. You made some really good points this weekend. And if you're listening, and you're somebody who struggles with pornography, and sexual addiction, understand this, that generally, very often comes from, if not always comes from, a lot of passivity mm-hmm. as a male. Mm-hmm. Paul brought that out this weekend. And so Paul wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about just kind of the passive Christian male
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the crazy thing about it, and I led the Christian nice guy lifestyle for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're not talking about true niceness because the word nice is synonymous with being kind and, mm-hmm. and friendly. And, of course, the world mm-hmm. needs more of that, not less.
Yeah.
What we're talking about
we're not telling you all to go be jerks now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But at the same time, nice people – they don't really stand up to a lot of things. I mean, nice mm-hmm. people don't stand up to injustice.
Yeah.
They don't have the taste for it nor the backbone. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about fake niceness. And so I was nice not because I was virtuous but because I lacked virtue, and that virtue was courage. I was just scared to death. I was a very fearful person. And I found that particularly in church, a great way to keep people away is just smile all the time. It was a force field. I was like a Klingon, you know, just kind of keeping things at a – my smile was a force field. And I didn't just, you know, it's kind of a conspiracy of good came about in my life where I realized, you know, Paul, maybe the reason why your life sucks is because of you. It isn't other people. I was blaming other people. And that was, and then I was humbled. And I used to fear humility because I thought it was synonymous with shame. And I didn't really experience that. What I felt was humility was admitting I didn't know and I needed to go find some answers.
Yeah.
And so anyway, went down a path of trying to obtain more wisdom and then facing fear. That was a huge one for me is once I faced fear.
Wow.
Fear, it got a lot better. But it's really prevalent in church. One study shows that 85% of people who go to church have what's considered a passive personality, and unfortunately, many are getting the wrong spiritual prescription.
Well, yeah. See, if you smile a lot in church, what happens is people think you're better than them, and so they fear you. oh, no, he doesn't have any problems. He's sinless.
That's right.
And so they go seek out the one that's, you know, smiling less, and they're now safe.
Yeah.
You know, but you make a lot of really great points in the book. And really, you know, one of the things that, you know, Traylor, you know, I've heard you say, you know, so many times that you really seized on, and you talked to Paul this weekend about was just kind of, you know, the feminization of Jesus, you know, through Christian history, you know, particularly through art, you know, but you know, Traylor, talk about, you know, what you saw in that book and what it's meant to you, that kind of feminization of Jesus.
Yeah, I only focused on the meek and mild, the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, come to us as a little child. And unfortunately, there was nothing else that rhymed with child, maybe. And definitely he was all those things. But
right.
What I saw in the book and had kind of found on my own, I kind of become this, but just he gave me words for it, Paul did, is just that there was a tougher side. And then I had missed that, honestly, and in my Christian training. And so what it did for me is in my marriage, I was married for 11 years before the divorce, and I created, because of my passivity, it created vacuums. That my wife had to step into because of just not leading financially, sticking my head in the ground, you know, in the sand, and just not addressing what needed to be addressed. And it was after the divorce, actually, after being single and having to really find out, really get into recovery and find out who I was. I was brought face to face with who Jesus really was and that he was enough and that he could meet my needs. And then it was interesting after I learned to be a good guy, not a nice guy, how at that point my ex-wife and I started relating differently. She saw that I was not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the good news, we were able to reconcile after being divorced for 6 years. My story is, you know, being a
a little blues music right there from one of our favorite artists, Ry Cooter. New artist to me, just heard of him recently, but I'm loving him. Hoping you're loving that on the way back in. So we're talking tonight, just a week after Easter, we're talking tonight about doubt. And one thing that I heard a while back from one of my favorite preachers, he was talking about, and I've seen this because I look for this. I was in Walgreens just a couple nights ago because I look for the Easter candy that's on sale. And there's a sign when you walk in there, and there's a sign that says after Easter clearance, and it says reduced. And I think that's a lot of the times the way that I think that's definitely the way that the apostles felt after the Easter resurrection. You look at them and you think, man, you know, they ought to be up on a high. They ought to be on a high from their faith. They ought to be just jumping at the chance to go out and share this news.
Yeah.
But they're not.
No.
It seems like all that faith that you think they should have, it's just all reduced, and you wonder, where did it go to? And maybe some of you out there are like that tonight. You know, somebody's thinking, hey, it's after Easter. I should be on a spiritual high right now. I shouldn't be in a valley right now. But maybe you're in one of those times right now where you're having a lot of doubts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I think I was at Walgreens tonight getting our weekly, you know, sugar buzz for the show, and you know, all the Easter candy was half off, and you know, but I think often, you know, when I think about retail or any kind of big purchases, I kind of think about the concept of buyer's remorse. You know, and a lot of us get that, right? Usually on big purchases, you're not going to have – well, you should have buyer's remorse if you knock down the peeps.
Which we did last week.
I know, and I had great remorse over that. there's still an unopened box in my closet. And I'm hoping the girls don't find that. But, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you know, a lot of times when we make big purchases, we're going to have buyer's remorse, right? Mm-hmm. There are entire schools of thought dedicated to keeping people away from that. You know, an Apple computer does a great job of it. I mean, when I went in to buy the iPad last week, they were applauding me. We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were clapping and told me how jealous they were and, you know, how envious they were of me for getting the iPad. And Paul right now aghast saying, I know this song. Yes, it's Voodoo Child Slight Return. Stevie Ray Vaughan doing that for you, though. That's what we're talking about. You know, pretty hip out in Medford, Oregon. Come on, though. Oh, don't say that. Don't hurt my feelings. So you were so cool until just then.
I had a
mute. Yeah, that's a good thing. So here we go. We want to let you know a little bit more about Route 1520 quickly. Route 1520, why that name? Well, route, you know, meaning, you know, kind of the way, and 1520, that's Luke 1520. That is where the prodigal, you know, turns and heads for home. That's where he gets up and heads for home. He's come to his senses, and now he's arising to go home to his father. So Route 1520 is the journey home. We're all on that journey. Recovery is a journey. It's you know, you are not recovered. You are in recovery. We all are in recovery of the effects of fall. I mean, just Genesis 3, we're all in recovery from Genesis 3 because we all have pain, all right? And we're all dealing with that in inappropriate ways. The only appropriate way is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is the deal. And we also have a Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/ Route 1520, R-O-U-T-E 1520. Facebook.com, Route 1520. Go join the fan page there. We would love to see you there. We post stuff there. Also, Route1520.com. Want to also make you aware of theprotectors.org, theprotectors.org. Go donate. Help this ministry out. This is great stuff. And also, you know, the books that he has that Paul's got. Paul, go ahead and plug your books, man.
Oh, let's see. No More Christian Nice Guy is what was talked about.
Awesome.
Thank you. That's the one that kind of kicked a lot of stuff off. And then in regard to bullying, we've got a very good book called No More Jellyfish, Chickens, or Wimps. And we wrote that in order to help create the raising of assertive kids, because the number one group of kids, character trait, where they get bullied are kids who are non-assertive. And I was got really tired of Christian kids being turned into doormats for other people's amusement. Yeah. And Married But Not Engaged, how to deal with passivity in marriage, unleashing courageous faith, helping people establish, grow courage, what grows courage, what diminishes courage, and how to use that courage, that strength, in the service of other people. And then No More Christian Nice Girl came out about 2 weeks ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I gave you a copy, but I guess you don't need it.
You should not lie. You know, there's nothing good about that. No. We've had callers.
That's good.
Oh, this has been a really good time, and Paul, thanks so much for taking time. Dude, you have spoken so much this weekend. I know you were gassed.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. It's fun.
Man, you are very, very welcome. And Traylor, thanks for coming tonight. Man, I know you were tired and welcome, not welcome. Feeling great, but the Barry White voice was awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You know.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Traylor will be on a good bit more, so you know, soon you'll hear his regular voice.
That's right.
So be good. Looking for that. Listening for that. And his wife, I'm sure, will be on, as will mine. I think I'm announcing this now to her as well, but I think my wife will be on next week with me. If you live in Johnson City, New York, up around Binghamton, I'm going to be at Johnson City College next weekend, Friday and Saturday. You can look us up there. We're going to be there and would love to see you. And if you are in Kearney, Nebraska, coming your way, University of Nebraska at Kearney, coming your way Wednesday night, the 28th of this month, going to be there talking porn. You know you want some of that. So come out. Let me just tell you right now, though, if you come to the presentation, there are no samples. Okay, I don't want you to be disappointed. So we're looking forward to having you at both of these talks coming up. So again, Binghamton, New York at Johnson College and University of Nebraska at Kearney coming right up. And then my wife should be here in studio hopefully next week. So babe, mark that calendar. And you've been listening to Tao Prince Live with Paul Coughlin, Traylor Lovern, for Garrett, Tiny G. Irby, and David Tucker. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.